about prayer. I have a different story I'm going to bring in. We looked through the Psalms. We looked at David's honest prayers. I'm also going to talk about honest prayer. But this is from a completely different perspective, as he was saying, than David. So as I was asking the Lord, after Marshall asked me several weeks ago if I would speak today about what he wanted to communicate about his heart to all of us. And this is what came. This is actually a place that I've been in my prayer life. So I'm excited that I get to share that. So I'm going to call this message, Say Anything, not like the 80s movie, but if anybody knows that, nobody's laughing at me, the boombox. All right, sorry, one of my favorite 80s movies. But I want to call this Say Anything. So I'm going to bring an account from Scripture you've probably heard over and over and over, but we're going to look kind of deeply at it. It's in the beginning of 1 Samuel. I love the title of this story in the Message version. It says, Hannah pours out her heart to God. That's what it titles the story as. But if you look at 1 Samuel, I'm going to read a little bit of it, but first I'm just going to give a background. I can't pronounce everybody's names. If you've ever heard me speak before, that is one thing I'm very weak at, is knowing how to pronounce these words. But her husband, Elkanah, I guess, is that right? I'll call him Elk. He was making his yearly visit to Shiloh to worship the Lord there. And he took his family with him, and he had two wives, and one wife had children, and one wife did not have children. And a lot of you know that in the Old Testament, when God created the world and when he created us, he never intended for us to have more than one spouse. Polygamy was something that was super common in the Old Testament, but it was never meant to be that way. And if you look at all the stories in the Old Testament about when polygamy existed, it was never good. It always turned out to be bad, especially between women, which is a completely different topic that I love to study and talk about. But women have a really hard time getting along sometimes, especially when you give them the same man. This doesn't work well. I mean, we have enough hard enough time already, but when you put two women, that just doesn't work. But this is what happened. I mean, this is how bad women can be sometimes. Because we're so passionate and emotional, and it's a good thing. But one wife had kids, the other did not. So what would happen is when they would go yearly to sacrifice in the temple, the woman that had children, as if it wasn't enough that she existed as the wife with the kids, she would taunt the other wife. You know, oh, you don't have any kids. God must not love you. You know, I'm better than you. I have the kids and, you know, you're no good. Whatever she would say to her, who knows what she said. But she taunted her so bad that Hannah was grieved. It also says that Elkanah, is that how you say it, Marshall? Haley's nodding. Elkanah, that's what I'm calling. Yeah, I called him Elk, but it also it says that she was grieved, and it says that he would give her a double portion. Also, when I studied that word, it was like the portion that he was giving her was the special portion that was set apart. Maybe it might have been for him or for a priest or for somebody that was super important, but he was giving. He gave, you know, his other wife a portion and all her kids. But to Hannah, it says because he loved her, he gave her this, like, special double portion. Okay? So he's given that to her. But if you read through the scripture, it's not even touching, like, how hurt and how grieved that she is, right? So he says to her, I'm going to read, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, whatever that is, his wife and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept, and she would not eat. So here she is, you know, her husband's given her the double portion. He loves her, obviously. She's his favorite. She's her husband's favorite. But she's still so bitter and she's so hurt and in pain that she's not even eating what she's been given. How many of you know that sometimes we have pain so deep, or disappointments, or things that in the depths of our heart that not even a human relationship can heal? Like not even your spouse. When your spouse sees you grieved and tries to reach out, you know, I don't understand. I can't comfort you. I'm trying. But how many of you have been in that place where it's so deep that that doesn't even touch it? That's where she was. And he even says to her, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Like he doesn't understand. And I think that from both sides, like, and I just want to say about marriage really quick. We can't take that stuff personally when our spouse is in that place of grieving or of pain or whatever, and we're trying and we think that we're loving all that we can and we're giving them, you know, all this stuff. And then we're like, well, am I not better to you than all this that you want? And that's where he was. He couldn't see it because it wasn't his pain. He didn't understand what was going on in her. But even his favoritism towards her didn't touch what she was feeling, and we're going to look at why, what was going on. So in this time in the Old Testament, children were not only seen as, you know, they were a stamp of God's blessing on a family. That's where all of the father's inheritance would go. They carried on the name, obviously. But for women, children a child was a woman's identity. Like it was God's stamp on her life that said, you are blessed. You know, I have picked you to bear this child. And a woman's identity was so strongly wrapped up in her children that if you didn't have children, then you were considered by society as rejected and as cast aside, and that God, there was something wrong with you because God didn't bless you with children, and forgotten. And that's how she felt. I mean, and you can see, we're going to read her prayer, but you can see in her prayer, that's how she was feeling. So even her husband, who's loving her, who's there for her, favoring her, caring about her, even she can't receive that because she feels so rejected by the Lord. Because there's a place in us that nobody, no human relationship can feel, right? So let's read her prayer. And I was just, you know, I always, when I breathe and study this stuff, I think about all the factors surrounding it. And I wondered, you know, all the things that are not in Scripture, you know, the reading between the lines. And I'm like, what happened that pushed her to this point? I don't know, because it says year after year they went to the temple and this happened. And the rival wife taunted her and all of this. Like, it's a repeat year after year after year. And I have no idea what happened this particular year that pushed her, but I would love to know. But here's her prayer. It's starting 1 Samuel 1, verse 9. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. A razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now of my great concern and provocation. So first of all, when she addresses the Lord, she says, Lord of hosts. And I thought it was interesting as I was studying this, she was the first person recorded in the Old Testament to address, the first prayer to address the Lord of hosts. It emphasizes that God is sovereign of the universe, who rules all powers of heaven and earth, visible and invisible. You know that when we come to him in prayer, we're not only coming to some nice you know, guy who cares about us, but like he's in charge. He's all powerful, the God of the whole universe. So when we come to him with our problems, that's who we're actually coming to that can meet every need that we have. She asked the Lord to look on her pain next. And I wanted to read the Message version of this little bit. It says, when she says Lord of hosts, it also can mean God of the angel armies. If you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely and unreservedly to you, set him apart for a holy life of discipline. So again, you know, she says, quit neglecting me. That's what she says to God. And let's talk about her experience with Eli, with what Eli saw of her. It happened as she continued in prayer before God. Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. So he jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. And then, you know, she goes on to say, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring my heart out to God. And I thought it was interesting when I studied this as well, that in that period of time, it wouldn't have been uncommon for a heathen woman, prostitute, or whoever to just come off the street, somebody that worshiped all the gods, and go in the temple drunk and do something like that. So when Eli saw her, he thought, you know, oh, it's just some random woman, get out of here, you know. And I thought it was also interesting that she was that raw and honest before the Lord, that she was willing to lose her dignity in front of the priest, which I don't think something women did back then very much. But I just, as I was thinking about that, I would love to have a nice coffee with Hannah one day in heaven and talk about what she was saying when her lips were moving, but there was no words coming out, because that's what I want to know. I mean, we just see this small little portion of what she says, which is a few sentences. And in it, you know, she talks about her pain. She asks for a son, wants to stop feeling neglected. But I look at the part where, I mean, that has to be like the best part, where what she was getting out was so deep that she couldn't even put, you know, it wasn't even vocalized, but it was deep. And so much so that Eli looked at her and said, wow, this is a drunk woman. Like, she was losing her dignity. She didn't care about who was watching her. She didn't care what it looked like. She didn't have her husband there supporting her through this. I mean, this was just her and the Lord. She didn't have Jesus. Like, I remember back when you think about this, like all these Old Testament stories, I mean, we have Jesus and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and they didn't have that, you know? So it's just interesting to me that somebody that lived under the Old Testament law and principles, she comes to the Lord like this, which I think is pretty amazing. So when we lose our insecurities and stop caring what people think long enough to be real and raw in front of the Lord, then big stuff like this can happen. So then Eli looks at her and he's like, okay, you know, go in peace. May God grant you what you asked of him. And she says, think well of me and pray for me. And she went on her way. I don't know. I don't really think Eli believed God was going to answer her, but that's just me. Like, when I study this, I kind of think he just looked at her like, okay, this crazy woman. I mean, I don't know. But what I do know is that it says when she left, let me read that part. Yeah, she said, think well of me and pray for me, and went her way. And then she ate heartily and her face was radiant. So what I do want to say is that when she walked away, she was changed. And who knows if her body was healed, if that in that moment the Lord healed her womb. She certainly couldn't have felt that or seen that. It's nothing you can see. But her heart was healed. That deep-rooted rejection, feeling neglected, that was healed in her. So then this is what happened as a result. Then they arose early in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, returned again to their house. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah's wife. The Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah conceived. She gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. So what Marshall and I were talking about that was so interesting is that in relating this story back to us, her raw prayer of honesty, it opened up the barren places in her, literally and emotionally. It opens our raw honesty before the Lord, opens up the barren places in us. And who knows if that was why. Maybe the resentment and the feeling of rejection and neglected and pain, maybe that was why her body was not receiving and was barren. I don't know. But I know that that opened it up in her, and that can open it up in us. You know, when we're struggling and holding on to questions and bitterness and resentment, disappointments, it can create this staleness in our spirit, which also creates a staleness in our marriages, in our friendships, in our families. It causes us to be fake, to put up the walls, to not trust. It just stifles. And it causes us to not feel and receive love from those closest to us, like it was with Hannah. She couldn't receive the love from her husband because of the staleness in her heart. So the Lord longs to be this closer than a brother to us, like he was in this moment with Hannah. And he longs for us in prayer to feel like we can say anything to him, the things that we wouldn't say to anyone else. There are things I feel like all of us feel ashamed or like if we were to express it to even my husband, I would feel ashamed or judged or rejected or afraid. You know, there's thoughts that we struggle with, or disappointments that we struggle with, or things that seem ridiculous to us, that if we were to let them out to another person, that they would think we are too much. I've struggled with that a lot in my life, when you feel like you're just too much. Or I don't know if you've ever had somebody, I've had somebody tell me that I'm too much. It hurts, right? But the Lord wants us to come to a place where we can do this with him, because he knows all of these things. And it's so funny, because we get afraid to express the deep thoughts in our heart and how we say it, because we're afraid he's going to reject us when he already knows everything, and we know that. But for some reason, we hold on to it. I want to talk for a second. I know I don't have much time, but as a personal example, when I was my background, I came from, I was a middle child. So naturally, I became very independent. I didn't need anybody. I could do everything myself. I wasn't the oldest. I wasn't the baby. I was kind of, you know, middle child. So I learned really quickly to stick up for myself. And I had a strange relationship with my mom as a teenager. I was a girl. I mean, it happens. And then my dad, I didn't have much of a relationship at all. So I came from a place of extreme, like, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. And so these prayers, I've been in a place where the Lord is changing my prayer life and bringing me into freedom and some deep intimacy with him. And I was laughing, thinking about the way that these, like, honest prayers used to go. And they used to go something like, you know, well, this is what I'm struggling with, but I know it's wrong, but I'm so angry, but this is what I'm going to do about it. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to fix it. Okay, good talk, coach. You know, like, like when you come to somebody and you have all the answers, and you, like, it's like you're being vulnerable, but you're not really, because you're still holding that guard where you're like, well, I have it all together, but I just want to tell you, but okay, that sounds good. You know, that's how it was. And I think God's just sitting there looking at me like, okay, go ahead, you know, go for it. You can do it. I've fallen flat on my face many times because of my independence. And so he's been working on this with me. So So what I'm trying to say with all of this, with Hannah's prayer, is that there is a place in the Lord in prayer where we can come raw, honest, talk about the deep things, the struggles, the anger, the disappointments with God. I mean, how many of you, I've had times where I've been, things that I don't understand, questions that I don't understand, disappointments, and then feeling that God's disappointed in me. Sometimes we feel like he's disappointed in us. And he wants to bring us to a place where we can just say all of that. Like, just say it. Just get with him. I love the times where I'm by myself at home and I can just say all of it. Just however it sounds, whatever it looks like, just get it out. And then it's when we get it out that then he can take us. And, you know, whether it be, and sometimes Marshall and I were also talking about this, how sometimes we're afraid to fully express everything to the Lord because then we're going to be held accountable. If there are things that we are, you know, struggling with in our thoughts, whether it be anger, you know, whatever it is. But once we say it, it's like, okay, well, you said it. You know what's going on, right? But if we can usurp our mind and just not even think about it, but just get it out, then the Lord comes in and he gives us the power to overcome the temptations. He changes our heart about that situation. You don't have to try, but it's when you are honest with him, he knows that you're saying, okay, here it is. And that you're coming to him and looking for his strength. And then he comes in. He's the one who renews our minds, right? That's what the word says, that he renews our minds. And he changes and transforms us. We don't have to try to do that. That's what he does for us. And that's what he can do in prayer. That's what he did for Hannah. She didn't even pray, Lord, renew, transform my heart and my mind, right? No, she prayed what she was struggling with. She asked for a son, but she comes out of it. And she's completely different. So that's what I feel like the Lord is saying to us, is that he wants to be that closer than a brother, that he wants us to express the deep things, that he wants us to trust him. You know, the things that you can't say to anybody else. And that he doesn't judge us. I mean, it's amazing. He doesn't. I don't know. I mean, it's okay if you, well, I'm not even going to say that, but Aunt Cecile's talked about this before, I think. But you know, like if you're praying and you're so angry that you cuss, do you think God's going to go, no. I mean, he's not surprised. Just there's no like pretty box to put it in. He just wants us to, I mean, when my kids come to me, my middle child, I'm getting it back. But I look at him and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, mom and dad. Like, every time I see my mom and dad, I'm like, thank you for being great parents. I don't know how you did it with me. But, you know, he is a good example of raw and honesty. You know, but do I want him to hold it all together and come to me like this and be like, well, this is what I'm... No, he just has to be himself. And trust me, he lets it all hang out. Do I love him any less? No. Do I get irritated? Yes, because I'm human. but yeah, he wants that from us. And he wants to be that for us. So... do you have anything to add to that, Marshall?
You know, the honesty is the key point in our prayers. If we're not honest, we're harboring negative energy, for lack of a better word. It sounds very New Age. But it is. It's something we carry deep inside of us. And it if we don't deal with it, it's going to affect the way we see things. See others, see ourselves, and most importantly, see God. It's that detachment, you know, God, do you really care about me? And when you read through the Psalms, Psalm 13 is so violent in that regard. You know, where are you, God? Do you really care? It's not that very nicely, I love God and I'm not going to show you my crap because if I do, then be honest with him. I know we've said that and it sounds easy, but really there are deep thoughts inside that we are still harboring towards him and towards ourselves mostly. And it affects the way we see. Hannah had the audacity in a world led by men to be honest with God to such a degree that it caused things to change when she opened up. And it's the offer that you know, reading those stories, and I love what you said. We don't know what she said. There's this lips moving, and that's the beauty of the scriptures. It's not a closed book. It gives you an opportunity to say, well, she did it. We don't know what she did, but something happened when she did. And it's this invitation to engage in the scriptures when we read it and pray aloud and engage in it. So thank you so much. That is right on, right on. And I encourage you guys, your experience in prayers will encourage one another. So if you have stories that, you know, that happen as you were praying, something you experienced, bring it on. Just speak on it. Just talk about it, because we can all learn from this journey. This is not... Again, I was listening to a theologian reading actually this week, and he says prayer is not something you start and finish. It's something you join in. It's been going on for ages. We just get to join in this flow of prayer and get to experience the love of the Father, his rebuke sometimes, changing our thought patterns. One of the reasons why we're not honest in prayers is because sometimes it makes us responsible. It's easy to chalk that, you know, it's a demon or whatever. But when we say, I hate this person, Lord, there's this face-to-face encounter with the self, and we have to deal with this. Why do you hate this person? I'm not going to remove the hate out of your heart. I'm offering you a way out by dealing with this. So honesty is key.